The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Now we are on to week six. Wednesday, October 14th, Field Yates and Matthew Berry plus Daniel Dopp hanging out with you. We have not just our usual Wednesday staples, such as rankings talk and the latest news. We also have a Tuesday night football game to break down. That's right. We had Tuesday night football last night as the Titans remain undefeated and the Bills go home humbled. 42-16 was the final. We'll get into that in just a moment. But here we were thinking to ourselves, just the fact that we had a game on Tuesday night means that much more football stuff happening.
It was gravy, Field Yates.
It was great. We're sitting there enjoying this game.
I tweeted this out. So at a Tuesday night package, it would go for billions of dollars, literally with an S. It would probably go for $2.5 billion a year. Okay? So that means more money in the owner's pockets, more money in the players' pockets because they share in the television revenue. The time to recover from a Tuesday night game until Sunday is longer than a team has to go from Sunday to a Thursday night game. So, in terms of player health. So my question is a Tuesday night primetime package, even if it's not every week of the season, even if it's like 6 games, 8 games, 10 games, who says no? Who says no, America? Who says no? Not this guy. I love Tuesday night football. Tuesday night football that starts at 7 o'clock Eastern. Who says no?
Yeah, I don't want to. We had a conversation about this before the podcast. All the points you made before the show and all the points you made on Twitter, all the points you've made right now are correct. It was wonderful. It was great. I mean, I would play football every night if we could, understanding that's never going to happen. But it certainly was enjoyable.
More than just that, how about watching an entire football game and then going to bed like a decent human being and being ready for work?
Now, we get enough people clamoring against East Coast bias, which I don't even know if it's a real thing. It's
4 o'clock. I forgot you were an old man, Daniel.
Stop it.
You're an old man. Did
you
get into that old man sweater that you have, that grandpa sweater, and you're like, oh, it's 10:15, I finally go to sleep.
That's exactly what it is.
That's basically what it is. That's right. He's been spending a lot of time with you over the past few years. Can't blame it for rubbing off on him. Tuesday Night Football was great, but as if Tuesday Night Football was not enough, we got a major, major piece of news in the middle of the game. Right around 9 o'clock, the Jets released a statement from GM Joe Douglas.
I have it here in front of me real quickly. The statement was, just like fantasy managers across America, we are also releasing Le'Veon Bell.
Wow.
I believe that's did I get it wrong? Did I misquote Joe Douglas?
No, that's interesting.
Coming in hot.
That's right. After 17 games, the Jets have released Le'Veon Bell, not even 2 years, into a 4-year contract worth $52 million. Le'Veon Bell finishes his Jets career with 0 100-yard rushing games. He had 0 carries, longer than 19 yards. He collected about $27 million from the Jets, and he will be a free agent as of 4 p.m. Eastern time today, Wednesday, which means he will be eligible to sign with the team immediately after that. You have something you want to reference?
No, I was just going to add, you tweeted out a bunch of stats, which I thought were great, at Field Yates, and you also mentioned that in addition to, in the 17 games that he played for $27 million, he scored 4 total touchdowns.
That was
4 total touchdowns, and as you mentioned, 0 100-yard rushing games, only 264 rushes. So $27 million for 264 rushes. What does that work out to, Secret Scroll?
I'll do the math.
I think it's about $10,000 a rush, if I'm not mistaken.
$10,000 a rush.
Pretty good.
I put this out on the Twitter and the Instagram at Matthew Berry TMR. One of the worst free agent signings in the history of football. A lot of people clap back at me saying, what about Albert Haynesworth? And I will tell you, 100%.
Yes.
Albert Haynesworth might be the worst of all time. I'm not sitting here defending anything that Washington has done pre-Ron Rivera. I get it, brothers and sisters. I get it. But I'm just saying, this is outside of Washington and our horrific free agents spending over the years. Listen, there's a lot that you can get to with Albert Haynesworth. But Le'Veon Bell's right up there.
I don't know that we need to litigate the entirety of that conversation, but I would also add that the guy who signed him, or at least
is no longer there.
He wasn't there 2 months after he signed him.
I know.
The Jets fired Mike Maccagnan a month and a half after they went through that free agency spending that included Le'Veon Bell and CJ Mosley, who of course missed almost all of last year because of injury, opt out of this season, which you can't hold that against the Jets, but still, a 2019 free agent spending spree has yielded basically nothing for the Jets so far. And now Le'Veon Bell will be carrying the football for someone else. So
here's what I want to do.
And he's still, I think you point this out, I think this is important. He's going to make $6 million. A team can sign him for the minimum,
yeah,
and the Jets are still on the hook for the rest of his contract. So ultimately, Le'Veon Bell is going to make $6 million this year, whether he plays football again or not. But because he's financially secure, it now gives him the option as a free agent to pick and choose. Like, he can say, like, listen, I'm getting $6 million regardless, so I can pick the situation that's best for me, that maybe gets me the best chance at a title, or maybe gets me the best chance at playing time. He can be picky now.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, that's right. So if a team signs him to a one-year $5 million deal, the Jets would still owe him an additional $1 million. If they sign him to a one-year $1 million deal, the Jets owe him a $5 million
right
more. So I think more likely he'll end up signing a deal closer to $1 million than $5 million, but it opens up a lot of possibilities.
This is what I put out there. I said something like, why do I think that Le'Veon Bell is going to sign for league minimum to the Patriots and then just be awesome next to Cam and win a Super Bowl this year? Why do I think that's going to happen?
That would be quite fitting if players,
because of course,
shipped away by Adam Gase or any sort of indication of how things will work out for Le'Veon Bell. It should be pretty fruitful. So let's do this, though. Let's get to the Jets backfield in a moment, because there is potentially a conversation there. Le'Veon Bell could sign tomorrow. He could sign tonight. He could sign in a month. Earl Thomas, everybody's, you know, the minute he got cut by the Ravens, it was, he's going to Dallas or he's going to wherever. And he's still sitting there on October 14th looking for an opportunity. So there's not a guarantee that Le'Veon Bell finds work immediately. And
There are a lot of running back needy teams. I think,
but there are a lot of safety needy teams. I'm just saying that, like, he's going to have a job by tomorrow. So we'll have that conversation when he finds a job at some point.
But let's have this conversation, though. I think this is important, Field. If you have Le'Veon Bell, if you somehow got suckered into drafting Le'Veon Bell this year, if somehow the clock ran out and you got auto picked into Le'Veon Bell this year, or just whatever, you're like, maybe he's got something less than an insane volume and whatever. You sort of squinted your eyes and talked yourself into Le'Veon Bell. And he's sitting there on your roster. You're not proud of it, but there you are.
Yeah.
I think you hold on to him, though. I still think you hold on to him, even though he doesn't have an NFL team right now, even though he's been brutal fantasy-wise through 5 weeks this season. I still think you hold on to him because, listen, obviously I am not a Le'Veon Bell fan. Having said that, he still has talent. And he will still have, because as we talked about, he's got tremendous flexibility now. Wherever he signs, it will be in a situation where he will be primed to succeed. As he himself put out on Twitter, have a lot to prove. I have a lot to prove. I'm ready to get started. I think I'm paraphrasing, but basically that sentiment from Le'Veon Bell. And so that's my expectation, is that he will put himself in a position to succeed with an offensive-minded coach, with a team that has a good offensive line and a good offense. I believe there will still be fantasy value for Le'Veon Bell at some point this season, whether it's this week or a month from now, we don't know yet. But if you have him and you can, I would still hold on to him.
Okay, completely agree. I think that if everybody, if anybody ignores that advice, you're just giving away points. I mean, like, come on, don't bother at all with, don't drop Le'Veon Bell right away, because he could wind up somewhere fantasy useful. And that's what I wanted to ask you. And this is completely hypothetical, unless you have information right now. But I don't think anybody does at this
what
point.
What am I, where, Scoop Yates? Come maybe, on, you're the one with information.
But
I just sit over here and make jokes.
Let's just think.
Yeah.
Hypothetical, just for fun here.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. If you could pick,
fun.
I'll give
for,
you
for S's and G's.
How about this? For somewhere between one and three teams that, for fantasy football purposes only,
okay,
that you would love to see Le'Veon Bell wind up with right now. Is there a team or teams that immediately come to mind?
Well, the Ravens, obviously.
Well, I mean, listen, and where do I think, for positive fantasy football purposes?
Yeah, for positive fantasy football purposes.
Chicago, to me. I mean, like, again, David Montgomery hasn't really, they lost Tariq Cohen.
It's the one that sticks out like a sore thumb,
right,
if a sore thumb is a good thing in this case. Because, and I might catch some heat for this, when I watch David Montgomery play, I think he is probably one of, like, the, I got to figure he's like in the bottom five in terms of running backs that are starters and get a healthy workload, right? Like, there are so many talented backs around the league. And when I watch the Bears running game, I don't think to myself there are any special elements of this running game, right? I mean, he's fine. He certainly can handle a heavy workload, but does he feel like a dynamic runner? He certainly does not to me, based off what I've seen 1.25 seasons into his career, which is why Chicago to me sticks out like a sore thumb, as I was just saying. Now, they do have Lamar Miller on the practice squad, so in theory, they already have a veteran sort of waiting in the wings, but Le'Veon Bell, at his best, I think, offers more than Lamar Miller does right now. And they are missing the pass-catching element that you just discussed. And Le'Veon, for all of the things he does not do well anymore, he is not an explosive runner, as we have pointed out many times. He hasn't had a 20-yard run in the regular season since Christmas of 2017. Christmas. So it's been a long time. But he's a very good pass catcher when given opportunities. Oddly enough, the Jets decided to go Kenyon Drake on him and just not throw him the football. So the Bears, to me, seem like if I could handpick a team, and I have zero information that they're interested, zero idea. But I would think the Bears strike me as the team that I would most like to see Le'Veon Bell on.
So, like, I mean, there's some other, there are other places that seem interesting to me that aren't as helpful fantasy-wise. But just if you want to speculate here for a little bit here, certainly, I mean, you know, he was rumored to go to the Colts at one point, right? And they've lost Marlon Mack. You know, I mean, I don't know how they feel about Jordan Wilkins and Nyheim Hines, but like, could he pair with Jonathan Taylor?
Just a thought here. Colts, their former assistant GM, now with the Jets. Good, healthy discussion there back and forth. My guess would be if the Jets don't have room for him, Colts probably aren't going to have room for him.
Fair enough with that. Tampa Bay hasn't really, I mean, I know Ronald Jones had a good game last week, but you, veteran guy.
You're going to have to cut somebody if you do that, though.
You think they're going to be upset if they have to cut LeSean McCoy or whatever?
Unfortunately, like, because he's a vested veteran, he could collect his pay still. So, like, they're tight against the cap. I like all of your ideas. I'm trying to poke holes in them just for the sake of argument here.
What about Miami? Can I ask that question? Does Miami fit at all?
No, he has a house there, or he lives there, I think, in the off season. But my concern with Miami is like, they're not ready to win. Like, if I'm Le'Veon Bell, Le'Veon Bell doesn't have a ring, right? I mean, he's been paid. He's gotten paid. And so, I mean, again, I don't know Le'Veon Bell. I've literally never even met the guy. But, you know, and he doesn't strike me as the most, you know, he feels a little bit more like, I mean, the whole thing with the Steelers, right? They had a chance to win the Super Bowl before the Ben injury. Like, when he decided to hold out, the Steelers were legit Super Bowl champions that way. And he was more concerned about getting paid than getting a ring that year. But still, I think now that he has gotten paid, that maybe he does feel like, hey, let me go to a team that has a shot at a Super Bowl. And he's probably not want to be part of a rebuilding process there in Miami. They're still a year or two away. Listen, could the Chiefs?
Say the Chiefs are interesting only because, like, you know, a player is going to want to play for them, right?
Right.
And while Clyde Edwards-Helaire, in many people's estimation, is a reasonable invest low candidate, and he's a first round pick, and they've got some pedigree there.
He's a rookie.
And it's five games in. You tell me if he's been what you expected him to be. You tell me.
No. And by the way, look at the depth chart beyond him. Right, I mean, so Damian Williams opted out. I mean, so they're looking Darryl Williams, Darwin Thompson. They got DeAndre Washington back on the practice squad, but like,
he's actually on the active roster.
Is he now on the active roster?
Just recently.
Put him on there. Okay.
So, yeah.
But my point is like, there's not a lot of depth there, and Le'Veon Bell, obviously, skill set wise, even if he's not what he was, is certainly a very good fit for what they like to do in Kansas City.
And they're opportunistic, smart front office. I think if they could, you know, extrapolate, or I should say, extract all the good stuff from Le'Veon Bell, and maybe put to bed some of the stuff that's plagued him recently, then the Chiefs could
be. They signed LeSean McCoy. You can't tell me Le'Veon Bell is more toast than LeSean McCoy was last year, and they signed him last year. One other team for me, and like I joked about it at the start of the segment, but the Patriots make a ton of sense for this reason, for a few reasons, right? I mean, Bill Belichick has made a career of sort of reclamating players that have been cast off from other teams. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, right? But he is, you know, whether it's Antonio Brown or, you know, back in the day, the Corey Dillons, the Chad Ochocincos of the world, like he is, like, you know, Randy Moss, you know, over the years, he's done Josh Gordon, right? Over the years, they have sort of collected players that have, for one reason or the other, worn out their welcome elsewhere, and they've come to New England and in some cases had tremendous success. The other piece of it here is that you think about the run game of New England right now, and it's not super versatile. One of the challenges they have, and that I suspect Josh McDaniels has, is that if Damian Harrison's there, chances are it's a run play. If James White's in there, chances are it's a passing play. Right? I mean, they don't really have a guy that can go between the tackles and that's also a really good pass catcher. They have sort of a Swiss Army knife in Rex Burkhead, and maybe Damian Harris is a better pass catcher than I realize, and maybe James White, you know, can occasionally go between the middle. But if you think about somebody like Le'Veon Bell, who can do all that, if Le'Veon Bell's back there, you don't know what the play is, and we know how successful mobile running backs can be when they have a mobile quarterback.
And so, the only way I see it happening is if Sony Michel's out for the year. He's on IR, but my sense is it was short-term because just hard when you already have five running backs on the roster. Really hard to carry six, even in this year where teams have a little bit of extra roster flexibility on Sundays through their practice squad. It's a really interesting situation. Let's get to the Jets side of this,
anyway,
though.
Because we'll see. Wherever he goes, it's going to be fascinating to be somewhere to, you know, something to watch. Like, listen, depending on, I don't know, if Nick Chubb was worse than you thought, Cleveland makes sense. Sort of.
There are all sorts
anyway,
of.
There's a lot of places. He'll have a job. So let's hang on to him to the extent that you can.
Let's talk about the Jets side of this.
Sure.
As opportunity is now available for somebody. My sense is that it starts with, of course, Frank Gore, because he's the ageless wonder and
Frank Gore forever.
Loves him. Yes. But LaMichael Perine is now on the radar more, Matthew. He's a fourth-round pick out of Florida. He's barely played so far this season. He was banged up to begin the year. The waivers are running tonight, so you have an opportunity to actually make something of this situation. Right. If you're inclined. And my suggestion when I amended the waiver wire column last night into this morning was that if I'm going to grab a Jets running back, I'm going to grab LaMichael Perine. But I'm also going to temper expectations. They are playing with more injuries than basically any offense other than maybe the Eagles and the 49ers right now. Their starting quarterback could be out again this week. Their best offensive lineman, Kai Becton's been dealing with a shoulder issue. Chris Hogan's now on IR. Rashad Perriman's been hurt. They've got one good offensive player. One, it's Jamison Crowder, who we talked about lovingly a couple days ago. But I just don't know that I could ever imagine a running back, unless he was a truly special talent, making something useful out of this offense consistently.
And that's the point. So I have LaMichael Perine in a couple of dynasty leagues. Love him. Love the situation. And I'm excited about him next year when Adam Gase is no longer the head coach of the New York Jets, which is, I think is going to happen. But until Adam Gase is no longer the head coach of the New York Jets, right? It's gonna be a committee on a really bad offense. I had LaMichael Perine for a number of weeks in our War Room League, in a 16-team league. But it's a redraft league, and ultimately I ended up dropping him this past week because I thought, you know what, like he's not doing anything. Even when Le'Veon Bell was out, Bell was on IR, he didn't do anything. Adam Gase loves himself from some Frank Gore. This offense isn't going to be in scoring position enough where you feel confident. And does LaMichael Perine have a good game or two here? Of course. But as long as Frank Gore is healthy and as long as Adam Gase is the coach, the idea that you will know when to start LaMichael Perine, I think is sort of fool's gold. So I don't mind taking a flyer on him in a deep league. I really like the player. And I think the opportunity will be the next year. I really like him in keeper leagues and dynasty leagues. This year, in terms of redraft leagues, I'm not as excited about his prospects, given the current situation in New York.
I overuse the term speculative ad too much on the waiver wire column, but speculative ad is how I would describe LaMichael Perine right now, because if he is a, not necessarily a special talent, but if he is a very good talent, maybe as we get into deep bye weeks, or maybe if the Jets find their way a little bit offensively, he could end up being a flex consideration later on, and certainly in deeper leagues.
I will tell you that the Jets like him a lot. I will just tell you that, you know, Joe Douglas and the team likes him a lot. It's just find yourself somebody that looks at you the way Adam Gase looks at Frank Gore.
Let's move forward here to a little bit more of news. And, you know, this is one of those where sometimes we kind of try to create news, but it's something to keep in mind a little bit. Duke Johnson sounds like there's a possibility he could be more involved in the Houston Texans offense. Am I reading that correctly? I mean, Duke Johnson, who's the backup to David Johnson, who's available, by the way, in 71% of leagues, is Duke Johnson. Are you buying this? Are you buying this, Matthew? Like the idea that he could be more involved and there's a quantifiable fantasy impact here?
I buy that he could be more involved. I don't buy that there's a quantifiable fantasy aspect. David Johnson is barely usable as it is right now.
That's my thought is, can you quantify this more for David Johnson than you can for Duke Johnson from that standpoint?
I mean, here's the counterpoint, and it's a pretty simple one, and it's one we use frequently. You go find 25 running backs to rank ahead of David Johnson.
I defy you
to do so.
Yeah.
You might go find 15.
No, don't defy me.
Okay.
I don't want to be defied.
That's the okay.
No, unfy
running
me.
Backs. Seriously, I mean,
unfy
it's so
me. I don't want to try
hard.
That.
Okay, unfy you?
Yes.
Okay, I will unfy you.
Thank you.
It's very difficult to do.
Yes.
I think you
got to
ride through the good time or some of the tough times with David Johnson and expect that his workload's going to remain relatively steady. And just again, the schedule lightens up so substantially. This past week, what did he get you, David Johnson? I think it was like 13.8 points.
Yeah,
you'll live with that. And
yeah,
more often than not, the Texans offense is going to look closer to what it was this past week than it was in the 3 weeks prior to that. Remember, the offense was largely fine against the Chiefs in week one. David Johnson was excellent in that opening night game. Since then, it has not been a great go of it for Houston, but that schedule was brutal. And
it gets a little bit easier. It gets a little bit easier.
Quite a bit easier.
Forward,
they play the Titans this week. A very good team, obviously, as we saw last night. We'll discuss in a moment. But I think better days are ahead. And, you know, when we were talking about what the impact was of Bill O'Brien being fired on the offense, it was like, it's not going to be new players.
Nope.
It's not going to be a decidedly new scheme.
Nope.
There just might be some more good vibes, right? Which is just a silly, weird thing to discuss. But players do seem to be in a different mindset right now, and it seems like that helped them this past Sunday.
It's an emotional thing. Look, players are humans. Like, they're not robots, right? And, like, I think everyone listening here has had a boss or a teacher that just rode them the wrong way, that just rubbed them the wrong way, that just... and you know, you perform better, right? I mean, like I will tell here, I'll give an example in my own life, right?
Okay.
Just throughout my life, I have had a number of, and this is important for people that manage me here at ESPN, you guys should heads up, but there are people, that over my life that have either been teachers or a boss or in a position of power over me. And they've done two different things. There's some people that are just sort of like just, you know, put their thumb down, like push me down and just try to, like, you know, sort of like squash me, right? Because I'm a different dude, right? And then there are other people that just sort of like, hey, we get all that's good and bad about you, and we're just going to let you be. And the people that just sort of let me be and do what I do get much better results from me than the people that have tried to, you know, sort of keep me under their thumb and really push me down. And that's proven itself over my entire life.
Okay.
Right. And so it's just, my point is that, like, there's been a time in my life where I worked for someone that had their thumb, like, you know, was just really scrutinizing every single thing I did. And I was miserable and, like, did not put out good work. Right.
You
and
can then, say it out loud. Pod Vader. It's okay.
I'm not saying any names, not Pod Vader. And I'm not going to say any names. I'm not going to say what company, nothing like that. I'm merely going to say is that I ended up getting a new boss and things became dramatically different.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And I was happier and my work was better and more well-received and whatever. And so, again, I've had many, many bosses in many different careers. So I don't want anyone to try to read anything into anything that it might be something that happened recently or anything like that. But what I do want to say here is that I truly believe that just removing a boss that you don't get along with, which is what seemed like the case was here with Bill O'Brien and a lot of the Texans players, just, you know... Like, it just, you know, there's a...
It helps a little bit. It helped a little bit. I will just say this. We could be sort of back to where we were 10 days ago on Monday morning. Because if they lose to the Titans, which I think they'll lose to the Titans, it could look a lot like what it did against the Steelers and the Ravens and the Chiefs. And maybe we're making too much out of this. I will just say that I think if we were to categorize this Duke Johnson thing as news or noise... I would call it noise. Let's get to the game last night again. Tuesday night football. The Titans win 42-16, just to dominate.
By the way, wasn't that close?
It wasn't as close
as the scoreboard indicates.
It was
42-16.
It was not.
Seriously, Buffalo, what was that?
It was not that close. The Titans do handle business very handily last night, especially in the second half, really from like the 2-minute mark on in the first half. And part of the reason why is because they had a special player back. It's AJ Brown. And go all out in Madden NFL 21, available now. And our Madden feature player for the week is the aforementioned AJ Brown. 7 catches for 82 yards and a touchdown. He was spectacular. A great touchdown catch early on in the game. And he conceded after the fact that, hey, I think basically, like, I don't know that I was expecting to play that much. I'm not sure they were counting on me to play as much as I did, but I had to power through for my team. They were down, obviously, multiple wide receivers last night. They ended up having multiple practice squad receivers pushed up to the active roster for the game with all their COVID-19.
Shout out to Cleve Raymond, last week's star.
But he's on the active roster.
I know.
But like Cody Hollister and a rookie out of Indiana, they had promoted the practice squad or from the practice squad. So it was a really, it was certainly
can't
a patchwork.
Can't tell the players without a scorecard. It was one of those nights.
It was a patchwork wide receiver room, and AJ Brown really brought the noise last night. Matthew, there's not really any analysis here other than just to note
he's
really good, and this is what you drafted him for early, and you're happy that you were able to weather the storm of being without him for the first or for the last two games they played, and hopefully that knee bone bruise that he played through is not something that can recur when Stefania's back, and we can discuss discuss his injury status, if there is one, going into Sunday. But it's great to see him back being what he was. If I were
Thirsty Kyle, can I ask a question of Thirsty Kyle? Because I think this is we're about where to go, and I want to ask Thirsty Kyle a question for him to look up while you're talking for a second. We have Thirsty. There he is. Yeah. Hey, Thirsty Kyle.
Kyle,
question for you. When do me a favor and figure out from when Ryan Tannehill took over as a starter last year, from that point through week five of this season, Ryan Tannehill is QB what?
Total points?
On a points per game basis.
Per game, gotcha.
Points per game basis. Thank you very much.
I think the answer is going to wind up being around number two.
I think it's going to be shocking to people. Yes, I'm going to assume it's top five.
But Ryan Tannehill last night finished as quarterback one for the week with 30 fantasy points on the nose. He had a rushing touchdown plus 42 rushing yards, as well as 3 passing touchdowns and 192 passing yards. He was added to the waiver column, as you would expect, which usually, as for those that are unfamiliar or unacquainted with the column,
unacquainted with the column? Everyone knows the column. Everyone loves the column.
Thank you. Appreciate that. But I mean, for those that maybe don't understand exactly how the process goes, Monday Night Football, usually the column is up on Monday, and then I update it after Monday Night Football. In this case, I updated after both Monday Night Football and Tuesday Night Football.
You were a busy beaver.
Tannehill makes the waiver wire column for those that are looking to add a quarterback tonight. And let me just ask you this. We'll keep it simple here. Understanding that there are still going to be those that are accounting for Dak Prescott, plus Russell Wilson, plus Drew Brees on a bye this week, and future insurance. If I were to give you the options again from yesterday, where would you put Ryan Tannehill? Would you take Ryan Tannehill ahead of Andy Dalton, Jared Goff, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Teddy Bridgewater, and everybody else we mentioned during yesterday's waiver column system conversation?
Yes, 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 yes.
Even over Dalton?
Yes.
I would agree. I mean, again, the numbers bear it out, right? We're not talking about a 4-game sample size now. We're talking about a 14-game sample size of him as a Titan starter. He has been incredible. I don't know that Kyle. Gotcha. Oh, here we go. Yeah.
Quarterback 3 on a per game basis since week 7 of last season, behind only Lamar and Dak Prescott.
How about that? Quarterback 3?
Pretty quarterback impressive. 3. And like, I think here coming into the season, like, he was impressive. Like, from the time that he started last year up until the end, he was a top 10 fantasy quarterback. He was great. But I think a lot of people are like, he was so efficient. Can he continue? Like, you know, there's going to be some regression, by the way. And it's probably a little bit of fluke and people remembering, you know, the ineptitude that he had in Miami. What do you know? Ryan Tannehill, yet another player that played under Adam Gase and now has had success after leaving that system. I'm not trying to knock Adam Gase here, by the way. I'm just saying, listen, there's a long list of players that played under Adam Gase that have had more success, at least statistically, than they did under Adam Gase. And Ryan Tannehill is certainly one of the tops of that list. But so I think there was some concern about that. And then there's also, by the way, and there was like, oh, this is going to be a run-heavy offense. But you think about Andy Dalton, and I get it, man. I mean, like, it's real close between him and Tannehill, but like, legit number one wide receiver in the NFL in A.J. Brown. Legit, legit option in Jonnu Smith. Like, Jonnu Smith has become like a legit tight end in the NFL. Like, forget fantasy for a second. Like, Jonnu Smith can play, right? And we've seen Corey Davis. I know he's banged up last night, but we saw him at the early part of the season. They obviously have a great run game. He's mobile as well. You saw it on the rushing touchdown. Ryan Tannehill, a former wide receiver in college. People forget that. Maybe not. Not as much as, I mean, like, it gets brought up, but it doesn't get brought up nearly as much as, like, you know, whatever.
Chris,
like,
Hogan,
you
know, played lacrosse.
Yeah, Chris Hogan played lacrosse, or like half the tight ends used to play,
basketball.
Yeah. Willie Cox.
Jimmy Graham used to play basketball. What? What do you got?
Mo Alley Cox.
Mo Alley
Cox.
Used to play basketball. Yeah. Right, exactly. So,
Jimmy Graham, in case you didn't know.
Yeah, Jimmy Graham. Yeah, that one.
All right, let's
up.
Move forward here. I'm with you. I think we all agree. At some point, like, we have to just, like, I know Mike Clay probably is, like, pulling his hair out over regression talk right now, but I do think that, you know, he has been so hot for so long that maybe this is more than just streaky play from Ryan Tannehill, who earned a
give
big...
Give the guy credit. Like, he plays well. He is accurate. And by the way, also, give credit to Arthur Smith, the offense coordinator of the Tennessee Titans, who is one of the rising stars in this league.
Let's move forward to Derrick Henry and just say that there are a few things scarier in life than either facing Derrick Henry in fantasy football or attempting to tackle him, as Josh Norman found out the hard way last night. And you mentioned Jonnu Smith, who continues to be one of the hottest tight ends in football this year. 21 fantasy points, 5 catches for 40 yards. Very creative in the way that they utilize him, and he is an excellent athlete after the catch.
If you were drafting today for the rest of the season, right? Yep. So Kelce, Kittle go 1-2.
Yep.
Mark, I think Andrews goes number 3.
Yep.
Waller goes probably 4, or is it Jonnu Smith?
I think it's Waller, Jonnu Smith, depending on what
I was going to say. Is there anyone else other than those big four that you can think of? Like, neither can I. I think Jonnu Smith is a top five fantasy tight end.
I hope Zach Ertz makes me eat my words here soon, but as of right now,
Rest of the season, who would you rather have, Jonnu Smith or Zach Ertz?
Yeah, not close. I'd rather have Jonnu Smith.
Of course.
I think things are going to sort themselves out in Philadelphia.
I would hope so.
A little bit, but something's funky there, obviously.
Yeah.
Let's get to the Bills, their first loss of the season. And I would say this, though. In fantasy, they still largely held up their end of the bargain. I understand that Josh Allen got only 16.3 fantasy points, but it's encouraging to know that in a bad game for Josh Allen, by the standards he has now set for himself, he gets just 16.3 passing. Yeah. I mean, 16.3 fantasy points.
I mean, that's right. Didn't really rush much. I think he had 18 rushing yards. And everything that could go wrong for the Bills did. Their defense didn't show up at all.
Yeah.
Tennessee not only had their way with them, but dominated time of possession.
Right.
You know, they had three turnovers, only one of which was Josh Allen's fault. The first interception wasn't on him. Andre Roberts basically dropped a ball that hit him in the hands. It's thrown a little behind him, but that's a catch an NFL wide receiver needs to make. And then, obviously, Roberts was the guy that fumbled the kickoff return when, you know, which so... drove me crazy. I needed Josh Allen, as I put it out there on Twitter, my Tuesday Night Miracle. I needed, in a league where the scoring is a little higher for quarterbacks, I needed 23 points from Josh Allen. I got 19 in this league scoring. Very upsetting. Very disappointing. I'm a bitterberry today. Where is my bitterberry?
I believe it's behind. It's up in the, actually, it looks like you up there in that leather helmet.
Oh, yeah.
Right. That's like your high school right. photo of.
Devin Singletary, 11 carries for 25 yards.
Read my fingers.
I see
plus you. One catch on one target for 8 yards. Yeah. Again, no Zach Moss last night. So TJ Yeldon actually stepped in and played a little bit. A lot of it coming in junk time. He did have that 22-yard catch from Josh Allen, which is a funky play. It's infrequent that a running back is in the end zone on a play from the 22-yard line where it's like basically a scramble drill. But Josh Allen put that ball on an absolute line. Stephon Diggs continues to be one of the best wide receivers in football. 16 targets last night for Stephon Diggs. Good for 10 catches and 106 yards.
Just want to point out here, and I've talked about him before, but Gabriel Davis, 5 for 58 last night. He got 9 targets. Should have had a touchdown. He made a great catch in the end zone that was called a touchdown, and then it got called back for an illegal motion, which when they showed the replay, you were like, where was the illegal? It looked very, very questionable. And ticky-tack, Bills end up scoring on that drive, so it didn't hurt you in terms of Josh Allen. But just got the start, playing a lot of snaps. I know they love him in Buffalo as well. It was a standout in training camp for them. Again, if John Brown were to miss significant time, Gabriel Davis is somebody that I think is really interesting and certainly somebody like I have him in our dynasty league that we're all in. Like, I really like him long term.
Yeah, I don't know that he's going to miss much time. Will John Brown? I mean, it was a surprise that he didn't play last night, but a good sort of insurance policy there.
Just want to point that name out.
The Bills play again on Monday night against the Chiefs. Daniel, what do you have?
Can I ask one real quick question? The Bills defense is still rostered in over like 85% of leagues, and they play the Chiefs next week. Like, we are free to dump the Bills' defense, right?
Well, I mean, we should have been coming into this game. I certainly follow the Bills closely, like many of us do here. And they're like, for as great as Josh Allen has been, the defense has been very substandard relative to what they were last year. And part of that's because of injuries. Matt Milano and both Tre'Davious White were both out last night. But if you follow, we've talked so much about Josh Allen that it's kind of drowned out the noise surrounding the Bills' defense. It has not been the same team that it was defensively last year.
Yep.
I think I would be certainly making other plans on Monday night against the Chiefs.
Through 5 weeks, they are the 26th best defense in terms of scoring defense. I mean, so they're a bottom seven scoring defense in terms of points allowed.
Would not have expected that for this team that traditionally has been so good under Sean McDermott. You know, Shell knows that between every tee up, layup, and batter up that you can't wait to catch up with your favorite podcast. So come to Shell and get three things done at once. First, fill up with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus to help keep your engine running like new. Then save up with the Fuel Rewards program and never pay full price for gas again. And finally, snack up with in-store rewards to save even more at the pump. Oh, time to wrap it up. Make the most of the stop you need to make with Shell. And engines that continuously use Shell V-Power Nitro Plus premium gasoline, see full terms and conditions at fuelrewards.com.
Field, how do you banish high rates on car insurance?
I don't know.
How do you not know I've done this live read like 8 times now? You switched to Geico during Geico-ween, obviously. October is Geico's favorite time of the year, and Geico has been working even harder to cast out high rates on car insurance and craft just the right coverage for you and your family. But here's the thing that you may not know about Geico. They could also help you uncover more ways to save on other things parked in your driveway, like your beloved motorcycle or your boat or even that home away from home, your RV. GEICO could even help you save on homeowners and renters insurance. So visit geico.com today and you'll see firsthand that switching your insurance coverage doesn't have to be scary. The only thing that'll haunt your nightmares is seeing just how much you could have saved if you had switched sooner. GEICO, 15 minutes or more could save you 15% on car insurance. Happy GEICOween, everybody.
Happy GEICOween, Daniel.
Happy GEICOween. Have you figured out what you're going to go as for GEICOween?
I have thought about going as a pirate.
Oh, you are.
Could you give us a pirate impression? What kind of voice would you use?
Are ye matey, ye be walking the plank there, Mr. Barry. You swabbing the poop deck if you give me that lip one more time.
Maybe go as a silent pirate?
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe as a silent pirate.
That was so good. Are you kidding me? Why are you being a Yater right now? That was really well done, Dan.
That was not.
You want to try to do better?
I know, but that's why I'm not going to be a pirate for GEICOween.
What are you going to be instead?
I'm going to be Field Yates.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Daniel did that a couple years ago.
Yeah, I did.
I don't know. No, my daughters are trying to figure out what they want to be for old GEICO.
Gardner Minshew is a great Halloween.
What?
Gardner Minshew is a great Halloween.
Gardner Minshew. Yes. Have my daughters be Gardner
Minshew. Or that girl that nobody's heard on TikTok that you told us about.
Charli D'Amelio.
Charli D'Amelio.
Charli D'Amelio. Yeah.
75 million followers. Yeah. Charli D'Amelio. You guys are nuts. I can't believe you guys. Anyway, whatever. She's like the biggest thing in the universe at the moment.
We're going to go quickly through a bunch of rankings here, and just players that either have semi-interesting matchups or maybe there's some, disagreement amongst rankers so far. We'll start with Tom Brady against the Packers. There you go.
Let me pay attention for once. All right.
Tom Brady against the Packers. Yeah. Is this a good matchup or a bad matchup for Brady against the Packers, in your opinion?
I think it's a good matchup.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. Because I think there may not be a quarterback in the NFL hotter than Aaron Rodgers. Maybe Ryan Tannehill. I might have said, probably Russell Wilson. But, I mean,
I get the point. He's a hot quarterback.
Dude, he's en fuego, and they've had 2 weeks to prepare for this. So, and by the way, Tom Brady's now had 10 days to prepare because they played the Thursday night game. They got Chris Godwin back. They're playing at home. Like, I expect, a lot of points in this particular game here. Here's the thing. Three out of the five games so far this season with a decimated pass catching core and an inconsistent one because, Evans is out there. Now he's not. Scotty Miller is. Now he's not. Godwin is. Now he's not. He's had three or more touchdown passes in three or five games this season. He's averaging 39 passes per game. I don't know. Packers allowing, they haven't been great against the pass either this year. I think this is a high scoring game. I think Brady versus Rodgers is going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, it certainly has the feel of a high-scoring game. Green Bay has been, I think, better defensively than some of the numbers might suggest, but some of the numbers are less than flattering for Green Bay on the defensive side of the ball. Matt Ryan plays the Vikings, and on paper, you're like, the Vikings, that's a great matchup. It has been for basically every quarterback that's faced them so far this season, but I don't care. I'm having a hard time finding room for Matt Ryan inside my top 10. He has not thrown a touchdown pass since the first quarter, and early in the first quarter at that, of week 3. How am I supposed to trust Matt Ryan? I understand he's got great wide receivers and the matchup is awesome, but they have been stuck in the mud over the past 3 weeks. Are you trusting him?
No, I'm not. I mean, again, to your point, under 13 fantasy points in 3 straight games, at some point, you're kind of like, huh? Look, because the thing of it is with Matt Ryan, he doesn't run. He doesn't run. So you need insane volume and touchdown passes to get you there. Are we expecting Julio Jones back this week? Maybe, maybe not. We don't know. Calvin Ridley, after a crazy hot start, has been inconsistent.
He had a good game this past week.
He did, but he's been inconsistent, right? I mean, that's inconsistent, right? He had a zero. I mean, I say bad game, he had a killer of a game. He had a zero against the Packers. But yes, he had a nice game last week. How do I pronounce the guy's name? Zacchaeus?
Yeah.
He had a terrible game.
Yeah.
Russell Gage had a bad game, also got hurt. Hayden Hurst did nothing. And by the way, randomly, out of nowhere, Todd Gurley looks good again. Todd Gurley actually ran well. So my point is that they've actually started running the ball. We don't know what this offense will look like. We don't think it's going to change much with Raheem Morris now as the interim head coach, defensive guy, replacing Dan Quinn, a defensive guy. Offense stays the same, but you never know. You never know if Raheem Morris may say, I want to run the ball more or something like that. Like, we just don't know. And so it's hard to get excited despite the matchup. it is hard to get excited about Matt Ryan, given the inconsistency that he's had, the lack of rushing. And by the way, the Vikings defense has played better recently. I know, listen, Russell Wilson had an all-time great performance against him, but they held Russell Wilson in check for the first half of that game.
The first half, they were better defensively. No doubt about that. Yeah. You know that Mike Zimmer is just brimming right now. You know, obviously, he's got to be frustrated with how his defense has played. He is a defensive coach who has been one of the very best. All right, Andy Dalton makes his Cowboys debut as the starter Monday Night Football on ESPN, of course. Company man against the Cardinals, a fairly savory matchup, if you ask me so far. I know that they have been okay in some passing statistics, but they no longer have Chandler Jones, most likely for the rest of the season. And just last week, Cardinals GM Steve Keim challenged the star players, said some of our stars have not played like stars, and one of those was Patrick Peterson, who's been okay, but not great so far this year. Cowboys have awesome, awesome wide receivers, so Andy Dalton, should he be a locket in starter this week against Arizona?
I mean, it depends on who else you have, but my guess is yes. If you like are replacing Dak Prescott with him, if you're replacing Russell Wilson with him, 100%. Over-under on this game is 54.5 at the moment, I believe, and so to get a starting quarterback, look, because here's the other thing. We expect Arizona to be able to score points. I mean, that's the thing. Is Kyler Murray's been really good.
If the Giants can score points against the Cowboys, everybody can score points.
Exactly. Like, the Cowboys don't have anyone in that secondary that can keep up with DeAndre Hopkins.
Cowboys are giving up 404 yards a game. That's fifth in the NFL.
Is that a lot? Because that seems like a lot.
That seems like a lot.
Yeah, 400 yards a game. So Andy Dalton's going to have to throw. Andy Dalton in limited time was 9 of 11 for 111 yards in relief against the Giants last Sunday. So, yeah, I think Andy Dalton is a borderline top 10 play this week against Arizona.
Let's get to the running back ranks. And, of course, a couple of players that are on buys this week include Josh Jacobs for the Raiders, Alvin Kamara for the Saints, and Chris Carson. So you're talking about three of the best 10 or so running backs so far this season. And it's time to turn lemons into lemonade, which is brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. And with Dalvin Cook dealing with an abductor strain or adductor strain, one of the two. It's a strain of some sort. Mm. He seems likely to miss week 6, that according to Shefty. So Alexander Mattison is the next man up here, and I believe consensus ranks have him inside the top 10. I think there may be a couple people who are still including Dalvin Cook in their ranks until he's officially ruled out. We should get more information on that perhaps as soon as today, but it's going to be hard for me to not start Alexander Mattison. We've talked about this many times, the idea of whether you're philosophically opposed or in favor of rostering an insurance running back. And for those that are in favor of it and you have Alexander Mattison on your roster already, you're in luck, Matthew, because he is about to be a very, very busy man in that Vikings backfield.
Yeah, I mean, he's a no-brainer must start this week. He is, you know, top five-ish play. Again, volume of workload, offense that surrounds him, and you can't ask for a better opponent than the Atlanta Falcons, who allow the 7th most fantasy points to opposing running backs, who are allowing the 3rd most running back yards per carry after first contact. Again, you think about the offense here where the Vikings are 3rd in rush percentage this season. You know, and by the way, just to the eye test, Alexander Mattison can play. He was a good player in college. He's been a good player in the preseason or in the limited time when he's gotten run with the Vikings as well. Like, dude, top 5 play.
Yeah, excellent week ahead for Alexander Mattison against the Falcons team that just went, just terrible again against Mike Davis. They're terrible against everybody.
Yeah, and you never know how they're going to respond to the firing of Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitrioff, right? It can go one of two ways. It can go like, hey, we're now inspired and we're going to go, rally or whatever under their new coach.
I got a different feeling this year than I did last year.
Right, or it could just be like, all right, well, this season's over. When can I book a trip to Boca?
Yep.
Like, seriously, like, you know what I mean? Like, they may have just, like, they've had so many close calls and so many heartbreaking losses that they may be packing it in.
What do you got, Daniel? You want to do
I was going to ask if, so I have Alexander Mattison in a bunch of leagues, even though I don't roster Dalvin Cook in those leagues. So if somebody like me, like, I have him this week if I wanted him as a bye week fill-in, but would it be more valuable to me to try to pair that with another player and trade it to the Dalvin Cook manager and look at like a long-term, return for Alexander Mattison? Or would you guys keep him and just say, you know what, like we talked about earlier this week, I think it was, any running back, especially these stud insurance guys, are going to have value for the rest of the season.
Sure.
So which strategy or which side do you guys think you would be more on?
I think it depends on two things. Number one is, what's your team right now? How badly do you need to win this week? And more importantly, how badly does the team with Dalvin Cook need to win this week in your scenario?
Yeah.
Right? Because I also think about, like, hey, I have, what can I offer you, Field Yates, for Dalvin Cook if I have Alexander Mattison?
Right.
Right? So, like, go into, like, because the guy with, the person, I should say, the man or woman that has Dalvin Cook in your league is without Dalvin Cook for at least 2 weeks because they're on a bye next week.
Yep.
So if you're sitting there and they're 2-3, they're 1-4, and they're like, we need to win this week, and we've now got 2 weeks without our number one pick, you could basically, I think that's an opportunity to say, like, hey, you're going to be without Dalvin Cook for 2 weeks. Let me give you a good player for Dalvin Cook, and now you've wrapped up the Minnesota Vikings running back position, and the person with Dalvin Cook is like, okay, I now have a usable piece for the next 2 weeks.
Send a note as to why it makes sense for that manager and why it makes sense for you. That's a part of it. Because you've got to be able to explain right. that for someone that maybe isn't thinking 2 weeks ahead.
Right, I don't want to trade Dalvin Cook, but you're just week, like, listen, yeah. you're 1-4. I'm just looking at this team. You need, you know, you have whatever. You have Russell Wilson on a bye. Yep. I don't know. Although if you have Russell Wilson and Dalvin Cook, you're probably not 1-4. But you don't understand what I'm saying. Like, it yeah. just, like, maybe there's some sort of scenario where, you know, they've been without A.J. Brown for all this time, and, you know, they've had a couple of disappointing other players. And, you know, I mean, a lot sure. of people probably didn't start A.J. Brown because the game was Tuesday night and they didn't know whether he was going to play or not, and they couldn't take that risk. There's also a chance that the game wasn't going to get played.
Yeah.
So I wonder what his start percentage was. But my point is just merely that's how I would do it. I would approach it that way is that I think your thought process here, Daniel, is correct, which is like, okay, it's worth – before I just say, like, hey, cool, I lucked into Alexander Mattison, I'm just going to start him this week, and, like, woohoo, like, maybe think, like, hey, is there a way to trade him to the Dalvin Cook manager and get something that gives me longer-term value than just this week, or could I potentially get Dalvin Cook back,
yeah.
and I've locked up one of the best running back positions in the NFL?
Just a couple more here in terms of some of the running back ranking considerations that we have for this week. We've been talking about the Cardinals all week, because by the eye test, Chase Edmonds has been the much better player for them. Man. Than Kenyon Drake recently, but Drake is still the volume guy in that offense. He had 18 carries this past week, and along those lines, from a rankings perspective, our consensus ranks still have Kenyon Drake ahead of Chase Edmonds, but the gap is much narrower this week as Chase Edmonds has worked his way into flex territory, also being mindful of the fact that there are, as we mentioned, some very good running backs on bye, so you're going to have to replace the aforementioned Chris Carson and Josh Jacobs and Alvin Kamara and others. So this week, I think more than ever, we are more bullish on the prospects of Chase Edmonds as a usable flex play. Still a little bit concerned about the volume. I really am, only because he was super efficient last week for Arizona, but there's no guarantee that they're going to have to utilize him as much in the passing game, but it should be a high-scoring matchup with the Cowboys, as we just referenced a couple of moments ago.
It should be, and they're using him as their passing down back. So he was in the others receiving votes on the love list last week. That paid off. I'm writing my love-hate list, my love-hate art column today, Field, after the show. Chase Edmonds will be once again in the others receiving votes portion of that column. And yes, in a high-scoring game, think of it like they're using him sort of like Jerick McKinnon, in the sense that, like, you know, it's a team that can run the ball. He's their passing down back that also has a little bit of extra upside, if you will. So, yeah, I mean, I get it. He's certainly not without risk because Kenyon Drake at the moment is getting the majority of work in that backfield. But I believe Chase Edmonds touches the ball enough to be usable in what should be a high-scoring game against Dallas.
Truly Lemonade is a refreshing mix of lemonade and hard seltzer that is perfect for game day. If life or your fantasy lineup gives you lemons, make lemonade. Maybe even win your matchup with a surprise standout and keep the good times going with Truly. Bring the flavor to game day is only you can. We'll keep it light, crisp, and crushable. Truly Lemonade comes in four refreshing flavors: original, strawberry, mango, and black cherry. Truly hard seltzer. Live Truly.
Whatever you want to protect, nobody has more ways to keep you safe than ADT. Maybe you've got a room with a diving board and a whole lot of gold coins in it, Matthew Berry, and you're just like jumping in it and having fun. Well, if that's the case, you can customize an ADT security package to help you protect your home in a way that works for you and your family on your budget. Whether you just want the basics or all the bells and whistles, ADT can work with you to customize a system to help protect your home. HD video doorbells, indoor and outdoor cameras, smart lights, smart locks, smart thermostats, flood sensors, and a fire and carbon monoxide detectors that are connected to 24/7 monitoring, all controlled by the sound of your voice or the ADT app. All ADT products are rigorously tested to deliver the quality you expect from ADT, the most trusted name in home security, and their expert installers average over 10 years of experience. ADT wants you to be happy with your service, and that's why they provide one of the best money-back guarantees from a national security provider. So protect now, pay later with low, flexible monthly payments to fit your budget. Support ADT because they support fantasy-focused football. And yeah, that's really it. I was hoping someone would jump in on that DuckTales reference, but it's no big deal.
Yeah, I'm not a DuckTales guy.
No?
Never was a DuckTales guy.
That's too bad. Were you a Darkwing Duck kind of guy?
No, just like... I'm older than you.
Okay. It's like Steamboat Willie. Is that what it is?
You are such a...
I don't even know what Steamboat Willie is.
Stop it.
Stop.
You're kidding.
Of course he
no,
doesn't.
Not.
You are a joke.
Idea.
Well, you know what you are? You're a bad Disney employee. That's what you are. Steamboat Willie. Steamboat Willie is the very first cartoon that Walt Disney, who is an actual person. Some people don't realize that.
Right. Yes.
There was an actual person named Walt Disney who obviously created... the Walt Disney Company, of which the three of us,
didn't you back
and many
up Walt
others,
Disney in high school?
Stop what? It.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
You were the sixth man.
Yeah, I was his intern. So, So Walt Disney is a real actual person. The entire Disney family, obviously. And Walt was a cartoonist who started the Walt Disney Company. And the very first animated cartoon he ever did was Steamboat Willie had Mickey Mouse as the, driving a boat.
Yeah.
1930s? I believe it was a boat or a train.
It was a train. A boat. It was a boat.
It's a boat. It's a ship.
Steamboat Willie.
Where did you watch the premiere when you?
Well, you know, me and my first wife got all dollied up. And no, it's actually, if you ever watch a Disney movie, they actually, a lot of times they'll have like a quick little clip of Steamboat Willie that'll merge into the.
I do know that. Okay.
So you see, anyway, it's like a black and white thing. Anyway, so that's. Steamboat Willie. I hate both
I'm
of you
sorry.
Guys.
I'm sorry. I love
this
you so much.
It's been a bad day.
It's
been a bad day for me to begin with.
If I could hug you, I would. I'm just not allowed.
I had a tough loss last night in fantasy and dealing with some other stuff. Tough day. Tough day for your old boy, Matty B.
Let's talk about Brandon Cooks.
Is this show over yet?
Almost. We got 10 minutes left.
Here we go. A few pass catchers here. Brandon Cooks for the Texans is coming off of his best game of the season by far. He now plays the Titans. Yep. So we talked about how a lot of things probably aren't going to change in the Texans offense. Do you think that Brandon Cooks' monster week 5 was a decided sort of like a shift that they intended to make? Or do you think it was just good fortune against the bad Jaguars defense?
Probably a little bit of both. But listen, Brandon Cooks is a talented player, and so you're asking, like, which do I think is closer to what we see for the rest of the season, Brandon Cooks, like what we saw last week, or the zero, you know, the 0 point fantasy game from the week before? And I think last week is closer to this. Listen, in 4 straight games, he's run at least 30 routes. He's top 12 in both deep targets and receptions. So, like, and they're going to throw. Like, that defense isn't particularly good. And so, after Will Fuller, who else are they throwing to? Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, so, I think there's going to be some inconsistency.
I love that we're turning to he's run 30-plus routes in four straight games.
Dude, I mean, like, there's not a lot there for Brandon Cooks. Like,
no, but here's what I was going to say, though, is, like, to the idea that, like, whether last week was intentional, like, they felt like they had to get more out of Brandon Cooks. As we discussed with David Johnson, you know, Bill O'Brien traded for Brandon Cooks after obviously trading away DeAndre Hopkins. He should have been motivated, one would think, to utilize Brandon Cooks as much as the offensive system would allow. So I am not convinced that last week was a concerted effort to get the football more to Brandon Cooks. I am certainly hopeful for that.
Yeah.
And I think this Titans defense, very opportunistic, obviously playmaking last night, but they also can be had a little bit in the passing game. This is not like facing Jalen Ramsey on Sunday for Brandon Cooks. So I've got him as basically a wide receiver, my number one ranked wide receiver 5 or my lowest ranked wide receiver 4 for the week, depending on league size. So I'm hopeful, but give it another week or two before I believe it.
I think that's completely fair. He's a little bit boom or bust. But I'm just saying, like, Is he usable versus, you know, that was a fluke game? I think he's closer to usable. Do I think he will be consistent? Not yet. I'm not there yet. But I do think he's a talented player just NFL-wise, and I do believe in Deshaun Watson in that passing offense. And I do think after Will Fuller, he's probably the Texans pass catcher you want the most. You would agree with that statement?
Of course. Yeah. For
so
sure.
There you go.
Chase Claypool had 4 touchdowns in week 5. He has now been named.
He had 5. One just got called back.
That's right. He has been named the AFC Offensive Player of the Week.
As well he should.
Can't imagine there was much debate over that one at the league office. Chase Claypool, though, now people are saying, do I have to lock him in as my starter going forward? And I think it sort of depends, right? I mean, so Deontay Johnson, we don't know whether he's going to play on Sunday, but Stefania seemed to suggest that he should be okay to play in week 6 against the Browns. Mm-hmm. And for all the great things that Chase Claypool did, all the great things that he did, and there were many of them, specifically 4 separate touchdowns, Mike Clay also told us that he ran the 3rd most routes amongst Steelers wide receivers.
Correct.
So he basically made the absolute most of every opportunity that came his way this past week. Like, he maximized his targets more than I don't even know if any player has ever maximized his targets like Chase Claypool did. So it's a weird debate for me, Matthew, because on the one hand, I'm telling you, there are some warning signs, right? He's not going to likely have 4 touchdowns in a game again for quite some time. But
who among us will?
Right. Well, that's right. But he's very talented.
Very talented.
And the Steelers have, you know, a solid offense. They surely do. Ben Roethlisberger has been solid so far this year. He's under 240 passing yards in 3 of his 4 games. He's been solid. He hasn't been amazing, but he's been solid, right? The vertical passing game has not been a strength for them so far this year, but Chase Claypool showed he doesn't need to be 40 yards down the field to make a play. So I'm interested. I've got him as wide receiver 29 this week. I'm trying not to overreact too much to last week, but I'm also trying to make clear that's not something that I think is going to be strictly an outlier for his career. He's going to end up being a useful part of this offense and probably sooner than later. What do you got, Daniel?
I agree with that.
So there's a tweet that we got from at TPW50 says, does Chase Claypool only maintain value with Deontay Johnson out? And it's always tough when these guys break out with such massive games because it's like, how do you follow that performance up? Where do you think about him? Yeah. So I'm curious, understanding Deontay Johnson obviously dealing with an injury, does that impact the way that you're looking at Chase Claypool for this week, whether or not Johnson does or does not play?
If he's out, then obviously you feel much better about it.
But to answer this specific question, my answer would be no. He does not only maintain value with Deontay Johnson out. Do I think he has more value with Deontay Johnson out? Yes, of course. If he has less competition for targets, that's good for any player's fantasy value, and certainly somebody as talented as Deontay Johnson. But I said this after that game, that my expectation here is, and we've been hearing about Chase Claypool for a while now, you know, just, you know, out of camp and everything like that the Steelers really love this kid. And, you know, the tape from college is really impressive on Chase Claypool. But basically, it's going to be Claypool and Deontay Johnson on the outside, Juju in the slot, and they're going to go 3 wide quite a bit. And we've seen this offense support multiple fantasy-relevant wide receivers. So there is a scenario. I don't think it's beyond the possibilities that, you know, Chase Claypool winds up with more fantasy points than Deontay Johnson or Juju Smith-Schuster. Of those 3 guys at all full health, I don't think it's a guarantee that Chase Claypool is 3rd on that list.
I think that's fair.
It's a good way to put it.
Here's a fun. So, yes. I got a story for you.
You have to wait to see. Yeah, what do you got?
At my wedding, you spent a lot of time with one of my best friends in the world, Spike, who's a good friend of mine, went to Wesleyan with me. Great lacrosse player. Yeah. Great dude.
He's a great dude.
Huge, huge Notre Dame football fan.
And, yes, he is.
He has been all in on Chase Claypool, of him being like the sleeper wide receiver of the year in fantasy football. In the league we play together in, Spike had the highest scoring week, I think, in like a long time in the league. In large part because Chase Claypool was on his roster. He's also got Christian McCaffrey and Saquon Barkley. It's a keeper league. It's an auction league. So there are ways in which you can actually make that work, right?
Can we get Spike to co-host the podcast with me? Sounds
blast if we did that.
We don't need you anymore.
Like, in any event,
Spike sounds like he knows what he's doing.
He does know what he's doing. He used to work in the league office as well. Yeah, so anyways, he has been bugging me about Chase Claypool as the sleeper amongst wide receivers since like the day he got drafted.
Why have you been listening to your buddy's hot mic?
Well, we actually brought this up on the Fantasy Football Marathon. I gave him a shout out at the time.
Okay.
And it was you and I at the desk, and Spike clipped it, like, you know, just DVR'd or whatever.
Yeah.
And now, and he posted at the time, like, hey, thanks for the heads up, or thanks for the shout out, Field. And now every time Claypool does something nuts, which before Sunday, he had like 5 incredible catches, right?
Yeah. He's talented.
Yeah. So every time that happens, he reposts that video on Twitter. So if anybody wants to go find at Spike Mal, M-A-L, on Twitter, you can go see a guy who loves Chase Claypool more than anybody.
Shout out to at
loves
Spike
anything
Mal.
Else. One tight end here. One tight end to get to. Bob Tonyan, your guy.
Yeah,
3 touchdowns
sure.
The last time we saw him play. Is he good enough to be a starting option for the Packers who play the Buccaneers on Sunday in Tampa?
I just don't. Again, same thing with Chase Claypool or Bob Tonyan. I just don't know how you bench him after that kind of a game. Do we expect, you know, obviously to go way down? Of course we do. But the fact is like, the guy just came up this 3-touchdown game. He's awesome. We know Alan Lazard isn't going to be there. We expect this game to be high scoring against the Buccaneers. He's clearly earned Aaron Rodgers' trust. Rodgers was talking him up post game and just about like every time I throw it to him, he catches the ball. Like, so, I mean, that's the other thing is that he's doing what Rodgers wants him to do or where he needs him to be. So I just can't imagine saying like, hey, I just spent a lot of fab money or my number one waiver pick to get him, but I ain't going to use him. Stop it. Yeah. You're starting Bob Tonyan this week and we'll see what happens against Tampa Bay.
I play in a super, super deep league with like 30 player rosters. Yeah. I have Darren Waller, so I normally have not thought about my tight end spot behind him, but I grabbed Bob Tonyan in the draft this year for a buck. Oh. I was like, oh, yeah, Bob Tonyan on my roster. Darren Waller's out for the week, so I feel very excited about it.
You've redeemed yourself. You can come back as a host
Sorry, Spike.
I was gonna say,
you were in, and now Field redeemed himself.
Hey, so. On Thursday, but we're going to have...
Be on speed dial.
That's right. We're going to have a podcast on Thursday with Mike Clay. We're going to preview the no game tomorrow night. We'll talk about rankings and news and so much more. For Daniel and Matthew, I'm Field. We're back on Thursday.
Peace out. You're in the 06010.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.